In the 1960s, an Italian family-owned dairy firm that had started out peddling ham, appropriately enough in Parma, adopted a pasteurization process that had been developed in Sweden. It kept milk fresh for a long time through the use of ultra-high temperature. UHT milk, while not a gourmet treat, became a hugely successful product, and the company became known worldwide for its milk in Italian latte from Parma, or Parmalat. Parmalat is still largely controlled by the Tanzi family of Parma. It is also the subject of a European bankruptcy proceeding and corporate crisis so huge it could pass for one of ours. Silvia Pagioli joins us from Rome, and Silvia, there are reports of Parmalat being unable to account for as much as $11 billion. What has the company done about it?
Well, today it formally filed for bankruptcy protection in accordance with an emergency decree that the Italian government passed yesterday. So it will be able to stave off its creditors for a certain period while the company restructures under a government-appointed commissioner.
This is a company, Parmalat, that raised a lot of capital through many borrowings, many bond issues. And evidently, Parmalat could satisfy the concerns of its creditors by pointing to, among other assets, an account with the Bank of America that had nearly $5 billion in it. Now it turns out that the account was a fake. How did this happen?
Well, that's the big question. How could a company that was relatively profitable unravel in such a short time? Prosecutors are trying to determine whether the cooked books were aimed at hiding losses or whether the funds were stolen or both. Now, under questioning, one top Parmalat executive has given investigators details of an intricate web of financial deception that he said had been going on for at least a decade and had been approved by senior managers. Today, the plot even thickened further, with Parmalat founder Callisto Tanzi having apparently left Italy, and magistrates have formally put him and his son Stefano under investigation, and today police were ordered to search the Tanzi home in Parma, and now it seems that the accounting hole could reach even more than $12 billion.
Mm. Now, beyond the dollar or the euro figure, I guess we should say, I mean, what does Parmalat represent in Italy, in the Italian business world?
Well, the company was a symbol of Italy's gung-ho entrepreneurial north, and like most Italian companies, it's primarily family-owned. It's the country's eighth biggest industrial group. It has 4,000 employees in Italy, but a total of 36,000 in 30 countries. It makes milk, yogurt, fruit beverages, and its logo is seen absolutely everywhere, not just in supermarkets, but also at big sports events that it sponsors, and it's even the owner of the Parma soccer team.
As you've described, the Italian government passed an emergency decree to take care of this bankruptcy filing. They are, though, in danger of running afoul of European Union regulations, though, aren't they, on what a government can do for its own company because it's its own company?
Well, in fact, the EU bans direct state handouts to ailing companies, but Italy does want the EU to grant its milk industry what is called a crisis status that would allow direct state aid. At the same time, the EU will certainly want to make sure that those measures do not upset the entire EU milk market.
How's this being covered in the Italian press today?
Oh, it's very big. And today many papers picked up the severe commentary of the Financial Times that said that the message of the Parmalat crisis is that high-risk companies in high-risk countries are junk and their security should be priced accordingly.
Indeed, that's how their securities are priced today, I gather. Their stock is zero.
It's zero.
Thank you, Silvia.
Thank you, Robert.
NPR's Silvia Pagioli speaking to us from Rome.